We called Michael Coates, who is a professor at the University of Chicago of Organismal Biology and Anatomy. I think I'm saying that right. Doctor, this is John Williams. You're on WGN Radio. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine. Good to speak to you.
Is it organismal?
It's organismal, yes. Careful with that word.
No kidding. So you study animals and plants and things?
Yeah, I actually work on early sharks, fossil sharks.
You know you're in Chicago, right? I mean, wouldn't it be more convenient if you were in, I don't know, Southern California or Australia?
But we've got the Field Museum here. So there's a lot of good vertebrate paleontologists here, people who work on fossil vertebrates, and some excellent evolutionary biologists around the campus where I work. And we work close with the Field Museum, and their collections are world-class.
Is everything I said about that story true as you know it?
More or less. It's a pretty good description of it. So how can I help you? I mean, you know, sort of fire the questions, and I'll see how I can provide you with some kind of context.
Well, in other words, relatives of this thing were swimming in the ocean when there was a Tyrannosaurus on Earth?
Yes. Isolated teeth. And the teeth of this shark, the frilled shark, Chlamydosalacus, are distinctive. It's, it could be described like having a mouthful of rows of fish hooks. And they are found back to 60, 70 million years ago in the fossil record. And that overlaps with the end of, if you like, the era of the dinosaurs, the Upper Cretaceous.
And are there other species that today are alive like this one that were also alive back then?
Well, if not that species, then it's close relatives.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this species goes back there, but it's close relatives. It seems to have been, we've got reason to believe that the sharks evolve somewhat more slowly than, you know, other groups such as mammals and birds. And there are other groups which go back to around about that time. A couple of shark groups go back. There's a thing called a Port Jackson shark or horned shark, which is known from Australia and Japan, etc., and they go back to around about that time.
Yeah,
I wouldn't call them living fossils necessarily, but yeah, they're ticking over slowly, and they're around. Yeah.
So my understanding was one of these hadn't been seen for over 100 years, that it was last seen in the 1800s in, somewhere near Australia. Perhaps that was some other animal that was also reported on in the reporting of this story. You told me off the air that, in fact, these things pop up now and again. You've heard about this particular shark before, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're not that rare, but they look so different from other things that when they turn up in bycatches, trawling and so forth, especially deep water trawling, occasionally one of these things will come up and people will, it looks a bit grotesque and it's unfamiliar and they get reported and they get a news coverage.
They should put these in the Shedd Aquarium. I mean, because, you go to the Shedd Aquarium. Why are you laughing? I would pay good money to see one of those things swimming along.
I would love to see it live. But there's not. I've seen a couple of clips of, one swimming up near the surface with a someone in scuba gear and so forth. And they don't look too happy. So, it would be remarkable to see one. But they're an important part of our biodiversity alive today. We should cherish the fact that they're around. They represent something important in terms of, if you like, the tree of life that's knocking around today.
And that is that every branch is important, or are they somehow
part of... Every branch is important, but if you've got a branch that has only one or two living representatives and it branches from deep in that tree, that's especially important. There's not a lot of near relatives to it knocking around today. So it represents an important part of our, our biological heritage.
Well, how many of them are there? Do you have any idea? 10? 1,000? A million?
I have no idea what the population numbers of this shark are. I don't think anyone does. We know very little about the biology of it. We know about its anatomy in depth. The first specimen arrived in North America back in the 1880s, and it was pored over by biologists, zoologists at the time. They wanted to know the anatomy because they thought they'd got something really archaic and ancient. And so there is no problem in, going through the anatomy. But what it does out there in the deep ocean is a bit of a mystery.
What does it eat?
Yeah. Good question. I can't tell you what it's eating. I mean, we could hazard a few guesses. It's because its teeth are not... It doesn't have teeth like a great white shark. They're not like steak knives. It's not going to take a lump out of a surfboard or a lump out of someone's leg. So with teeth like that, it's probably swallowing other fishes and things whole, just gulping the whole thing down. So it's size limited. With that kind of set of teeth, you can't eat anything bigger than your head or take a bite out of anything bigger. So
that's a rule we have at my house.
We
have a rule at my house: never eat a food larger than your head. Because sometimes you see somebody with something going, "No, don't do that. It's a bad idea." So it just kind of takes the thing in and then digests it while it's in there. It's you know, really, if you thought about it, it seems to me like it's a pretty cleverly designed creature. You know, I'll just get this big head. It'll just be this scoop. We'll just grab some stuff and stick it in the old back there, and we're good to go.
Well, if you look up pictures of deep water, deep ocean fishes, a lot of them are like that. They have, you know, these gulper eels with huge jaws, you know, jaws almost bigger than the rest of the body, and distendable guts for engulfing food. Far more, you know, if you like, better adapted for doing that kind of thing than something like frilled shark. Again, frilled shark is something we need to cherish when we find it. You know, it's we don't really yet know what it's doing, and it's a bit special because it's out there on the end of its own branch on the tree of sharks, the family tree.
Google the frilled shark, and as Michael Coates says, cherish it. When you show it to your friends and say, remember, we should cherish this.
You should. Yeah, I'm a fan of these things.
I understand your point completely. It's just not a puppy dog now, is it?
Precisely.
Listen, Michael, I don't know that we'll have occasion to visit again, but I'm going to try and find one for us to do so. I really appreciate your expertise and time with us this afternoon.
A pleasure.
Michael Coates is at the University of Chicago. Hey, I said that I was going to give away an MJ Miller & Company gift certificate. We will do it when we play our non sequitur of the day game. Are you listening to WGN? Yes. Something's been said on this radio station today. If you can give me the context of it, you win the prize. That's coming up.